never, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
Then get another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
He's gonna get you.
He's gonna get you. He's gonna get you.
He's gonna get you.
He's gonna get you.
He's gonna get you. The boogeyman is coming.
You gotta tell him Silent Breed is people.
So we got the old rust bucket tonight.
You wanna watch what you call my car? It's real sensitive.
I'll never tell.
Hello, Danny.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ.
Oh, it's another week in 2016. I had nothing. I'm sorry, I had nothing.
But yeah, anyways. It's almost the end of January already.
Thank goodness. The way this month's gone, thank goodness. Praise Cthulhu, it's almost over.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh, well, geez.
So this year is a year for change. So EMZT Radio is also on vampirefreaks.com.
Yes, we are. Well, on Vampire Freaks. And of course we have our website.
This is going to help us more with getting more bands, because I was using my cousin's account, so they got confused by the names.
So, that would explain EMZT. A lot.
Yeah, EMZT Radio Podcast 666 at vampirefreaks.com. That's where we are. They wouldn't let me have a name without any numbers in it. I had to put something
why?
In there. I don't know why. It's other than it's new technology. You have to make usernames with letters, numbers, and those funky symbols.
Symbols.
And also, well, this does not have symbols in it. I did not want symbols in our name. So, this is what I got away with.
That's weird. I guess it's to prove you're not a robot.
Yeah.
Are you a robot?
I am not a robot.
Okay.
But we already have some band advice. But for the status is looking for unsigned and independent bands to play on our podcast, and we already got some hits.
Yes, you told me about a few off the air, but
a couple of them are from people we already play, like My Own Sorrow, Flames of Ice.
But
now we've got some more, including Oots.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful.
I know. I love their music. I have all their albums on my iPod. And, I mean, look at all the hits we got already. There's even some, let's see, Succumbed. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
Fear Passage. I mean, these names are just great.
It's awesome. We are moving up in the world.
So we are going to get more bands this way with EMZT on vampirefreaks.com.
I am actually in the talks with a few people right now, so getting them on as far as literary goes. So we might have some interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks to discuss.
Yes, I've got our band people that want to do interviews too. I mean, Jules Marie is chomping at the bit to talk to us. We have Dr. Death and Mr. Vile to talk about after their new CD came out last year.
Nice. Yeah, and I mean, you know, this is what we wanted, and I don't know if we talked about it last week or not. We are moving to 2 hours. That is a given. We will be doing 2-hour podcasts now, because a lot of people have said that they enjoy the 2-hour podcast. You know, you listen to people while you work out, stuff like that.
So
my favorite podcast I listen to at the gym, so I would just like to say that. And quick shout out to my favorite podcast, although I don't think they listen to us, Communion After Dark.
They need to join us.
It's an awesome, awesome podcast. For those of you who like the, you know, EDM music and gothic and that sort of music. So I just thought I'd give them a shout out. But hey, I found something cool.
What?
As we get into the meat of our podcast, we'll be talking a lot about a whole bunch of stuff. But there is... You know me and my love of H.P. Lovecraft. I am such a stereotype. It's sad. We heard earlier last year, we heard last year, I shouldn't say earlier last year, it was kind of middle of last year, that Guillermo del Toro was literally the busiest man in horror.
Definitely.
Wanted to pick up At the Mountains of Madness by H.P. Lovecraft, do a movie off of it, because, you know, again, and we talked about it, you know, on some of our podcasts late last year, because, you know, it's Guillermo and it's H.P. Lovecraft. Of course, that's, you're going to get top billing on our podcast just for that.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, he may have bit off more than you, and that project now is on indefinite hold. It's not canceled. It's not canceled. It's on indefinite hold from the last I heard. But not to fret, all of you children of Lovecraft, because At the Mountains of Madness might not be coming to a theater near you, but it will be coming to a PC near you. That's right. If you have Steam, coming soon. Now, the company that does this has not released a date, a release date yet. Actually, Unreal is doing it. And this is, it's called, the Unreal Engine is at this game. Epic Games is with that. A lot of people remember Epic Games back in the day.
Yes.
For Jill of the Jungle, blah, 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 blah. Unreal Engine also works with Gearbox. And they did my obsession, Borderlands. They've done that whole series. And from what I understand, there's not going to be a Borderlands 3 for a while. So I'm kind of a little bummed out about that. But Epic Games and Unreal are now working on a video game version of At the Mountains of Madness, which you will play as as Dr. William Dyer at Miskatonic University, and you will be heading off to Antarctica, and you'll find the home of the Great One. So that's coming to Steam sometime this year. So Unreal and Epic Games are getting together for that. And again, just a memo to Gearbox Software. I'm okay with these Tales from the Borderlands things, but I really hope you guys are planning on a Borderlands 3. I know it's difficult, you know, very difficult, because in Borderlands 2, you had to kill Handsome Jack, so you gotta kind of got to figure out where Hyperion's going from there. But
I'm sure they're definitely working on a 3. People love Borderlands.
Oh, absolutely.
I haven't got to play it yet. It's on my list.
Oh, my God. It's
Gamefly.
It's addicting.
I know. I know. That's what I heard.
Get the first one if you can. I don't know if they make the first one yet for...
Yeah.
They do for Xbox One and PlayStation 4?
PlayStation 3, yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, I forget. Yes, you Sony people can backwards... You guys have backwards compatibility. We don't.
Yes.
But no,
yeah, this
I have...
Mountains of Madness. I'm looking at the screenshots for this, and it looks quite amazing.
Absolutely. Unreal does a great job with games. Epic does a great job with games. So I'm not really surprised that this looks completely awesome. I honestly cannot wait.
I'm looking forward to it myself. What do you think the old ones will look like? Oh, my goodness. There's a shot of Cthulhu right there. Holy shit.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Wow.
So, yeah, this game will definitely be on the must-buy list. We're still talking about things we're looking forward to 2016. And this is definitely on the top of my list.
Yes. I will so buy this. Oh, yeah.
All right, so, go ahead.
I was going to say, it looks a little like Skyrim.
I think that's the intention.
Yeah, because you've got the marketplaces, the what is it? Shoot. Where you rent rooms for the night.
The inns.
Yeah, and it looks a bit like Skyrim. I don't want to offend anybody, but it looks amazing, though.
Yeah, but we'll have a link on the blog, and we'll try to put the link in the show notes too, to where you can go check this out. But it's at mountainsgame.wordpress.com. One word, mountainsgame, MountainsGame, game.wordpress.com, if you want to check that out.
Yeah.
Well, other than that, we'll get into the meat of things here in a couple of minutes. Again, things that we're looking forward to in 2016, and also... I'm very happy to say this. a little bit later, we'll be discussing some of the greatest news to hit the channel El Rey ever. That's coming up a little bit later. But right now, we're going to spin some tunes right here on EMCT Radio.
Let me tell you a little something about love, Dennis. It has a voracious appetite. It eats everything. Friendship. Family. It kills me how much it eats. But I'll tell you something else. You feed it right, and it can be a beautiful thing, and that's what we have.
Hey, Insaniacs. This is V from Creeping Beauty, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
bitch in a buzzsaw. I've heard some mighty burps in my time, but that's the Blue Ribbon Baby.
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're tuned in to the delightful darkness of EMZT Radio.
And our discussion goes into the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards 2016.
Yes. Woo-hoo! They're back.
I don't know if they still do this. I still don't know if they do this on a cable channel. They had, it was like a horror version of the Oscars.
Well,
I loved it. The one time I saw it.
Knowing Spike TV, it probably will be on Spike TV.
Because the one year I watched it, it had Chucky was an announcer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, because the Oscars just came out earlier this week. Of course, you know. Or as I like to call it, the White Achievement Awards. But well, we don't have to get into that. Honestly, though, I mean, I'm kind of PO'd about how white the Oscars are. And this is coming from a white person. I mean, there were some great, great acting performances this year. And Ira Silva comes to my mind. He's always a great actor. He never gets anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have to find a way to screw somebody to give Leo a nomination, right?
Isn't Leo so, like, 10 years ago?
I know, but at least this time he got attacked by a bear to win it, so. Anyways. I digress.
That's the way to go.
Or as some of the news reports put it, raped by a bear.
Raped. Pretty much, huh?
Yeah. Oh. Anyways, moving on.
To the list.
Yeah, to lighter things.
To the list. Now, I haven't seen a whole lot of these. I'm kind of feeling bad.
Well, I have the list in front of me of the best wide release film. That's the best, mainstream film, so to speak. And we could talk about that for a little bit here, because there are some, I mean, absolutely outstanding films on this list. Without a question. Okay. Obviously, the first nominee is Crimson Peak. And
yes.
If you have not seen Crimson Peak yet, what is wrong with you?
Because I didn't get to the theater.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. It's Guillermo del Toro and Tom Hiddleston together.
Yes.
Please, come on. For those of you who don't know what it is, I don't know how you don't know what it is. It's a gothic romance from the mind of horror's most ambitious living filmmaker. Crimson Peak was a unique, bold ghost story in a year filled with subpar haunting offerings. Not looking at you, Victor Frankenstein, or anything, but yes, subpar. Oh, yes, yes, I am. I'm looking at you. And you ruined one of my favorite actors. With a fantastic and talented cast, breathtaking production design, and a fair share of creepy creations. Well, no crap. Guillermo del Toro did it. Crimson Peak.
Yeah. Exactly.
Crimson Peak felt like the kind of original storytelling okay. that horror fans have been to clamor for. Once again, duh. GDT did it. That's all you need to know.
That's right.
So I think that's He's probably your man. Favorite. Yeah. I think Crimson Peak is going to be your favorite. It's going to win a lot of chainsaw awards, and I'm actually surprised it wasn't up for an Oscar.
No kidding.
Right
up there with Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah,
production and everything.
And I don't mean in the acting categories. I mean in the technical categories. It's where I really saw
That's what I mean too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the next one is The Gift by Joel Edgerton. I didn't see this.
Nope, didn't see it.
Now this was his debut.
Didn't see it.
It's the most engaging psychological horror film of 2015. And again, I'm reading all of this off of Fangoria. Joel Edgerton's directorial debut was a fantastic showcase for his skills, both in front of and behind the camera. A contemporary stalker story in the vein of Alfred Hitchcock and Adrian Lyne, The Gift was the genre's sleeper hit of the summer, and hopefully the critical and commercial acclaim will translate into votes in getting this unsettling thriller creep towards a chainsaw victory. And again, I didn't see this movie, but it actually seems like the type of movie I'd see.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get to it either. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, we can't talk about what we haven't seen. So, I mean, we just throwing that out there. Here's one that I think was probably the most overrated horror movie of the year. Well, okay, outside of Victor Frankenstein. It Follows.
I watched it. We discussed this. I said I kind of liked it because the fact that even though sex in horror movies is a killer, this one, you had to have sex to stay alive. So it kind of broke some rules there.
It did. It's a minimalist movie. I get that. And I kind of, that kind of bothers me a little bit. These minimalist movies that are coming out now, or directors are trying to be too quirky. You know what I mean? They're trying to be too creative, too playful.
Or they're going back to the time where if you don't show it, people's imaginations will go wild and they'll come up with their own ideas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the only thing they showed that was, like, horrific was, like, the first death. The woman was turned basically into a pretzel, almost. I mean, it was kind of gross.
Yummy.
But
I don't know.
Yeah. Pretzel on the beach.
Yeah. And again, to me, I think, well, speaking of overrated, Krampus is on the list.
Didn't get to see it.
I haven't seen it either. But I don't know. I've seen very mixed reviews about this movie. I'm still kind of on the fence about it. So
okay,
I'll wait till it comes on Netflix to see it.
Yeah.
Then I'll make my decision.
Me too.
And of course, what is a horror awards list without something from M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong?
I did not know he did that. Because that looked really good, too. But I didn't see it either.
It's amazing. We're like, oh, that looks good. Oh, wait a minute. He did that? Wait a minute.
He did that what?
Usually when we talk about M. Night Shyamalan, it's with a lot of disdain.
Yeah.
For those of you newly initiated to our show, yes, we have a lot of disdain for M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Yeah.
And for one good reason, it's he puts out crap, and it's because it's M. Night Shyamalan, everybody goes, oh my god, it's so brilliant. Really?
No, not always.
He hasn't put out a good movie since The Sixth Sense, and The Sixth Sense wasn't that great. Hashtag unpopular opinion.
Yeah, it was decent, but yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, The Visit, and again, I didn't see The Visit.
I wanted to see that because that's like something really cool. Oh, grandma and grandpa are acting weird.
Yeah. And it's also in the vein of the found footage, which I've gotten, again, found footage for me is hit or miss, mostly miss.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see M. Night Shyamalan in a found footage movie, I got some really, really big reservations about that. But again, I'll give it a chance. Yeah. I'll give it a chance. That's all I can do.
But we didn't give it a chance before the awards.
Yeah, so honestly, we can't vote. We honestly cannot truly vote in this because we haven't seen a lot of these movies.
Nope.
And because we're too busy watching independent movies, that's why. Just to let you people know.
Mm-hmm. Which are better than M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Okay.
Oh, here's I got a full list now of the nominees. Okay. Direct to film would be the next one. The straight to DVD, or excuse me, the best wide released film, which I thought that's what we were talking about, but apparently we weren't. Oh, these are 2015. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not...
Well, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Well, no, we're talking about the 2016 awards, not the 2015 awards.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Yeah, there we go. Now I have it. Obviously, we just talked about that. All right, direct-to-video. And again, I have not seen any of these direct-to-video ones. I'm not even going to lie. I couldn't even tell you. Anguish.
I did not see that one, but I saw the rest of these.
Okay, you saw The Final Girls.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Yes, I did.
Thoughts?
So the concept is they go to watch a movie, which is the anniversary of the girl's mom's death. Mm-hmm. And somehow they get sucked into the film. Like, they are in the horror film that her mom was in. So I thought that was a really cool idea, that they're stuck in this film. So they're trying to figure out how to get out of the film.
Well,
and yeah, how to survive, because it's a horror slasher film. It's like based, it's a parody of Jason.
So it's basically
it's a
the
guy
Ring
and a mask with a machete.
So it's basically a Jason meets the Ring type deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dear. And as they're in this film, they're interacting with the characters. So in a way, they're changing the movie completely because they have this foreknowledge of what's going to happen in the movie.
So, I have dreams like this.
Yeah, and the big one was they kept saying, no sex. Sex means you die. And so, like, the most promiscuous girl out of the whole group was telling the character in the movie not to have sex, even though she had sex, like, 3 times earlier that day.
Oh, dear. All right, let's see.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious, and it helped. They discussed more of the horror rules of a slasher film. So I thought it was pretty original, and I really liked it.
Cool.
It's if you don't take it seriously, you can't take it seriously. This is all in fun.
Ah. But, all right, we have Some Kind of Hate.
Yeah. Twisted stuff.
Oh, my.
Oh. Yeah, it's twisted.
Okay.
Because at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, that's all kinds of wrong.
All right, then we have We Are Still Here.
Is it Barbara Crampton is in this one? I believe Barbara Crampton is in this. Mm-hmm. And it's, they're moved into a house to where a guy killed his family and killed himself, and they're still there. That's what it means. The ghosts of the former owners are still there.
Okay.
It was pretty decent.
All right. What We Do in the Shadows.
I was listening to an earlier podcast. We talked about this. It's a New Zealand vampire mockumentary.
Oh, I've been wanting
about,
to see this.
Vampires. Yeah. About vampires doing... They brought in this film crew to document what they do and what vampires are all about. Hilarious stuff. I think you would really enjoy it. It should have been... It would have been on your... It was when we were talking about horror comedies. That was on my list.
Yeah, because I will definitely look at that one. All right, can we skip Best Foreign Language Film? Because I don't think either one of us have seen any of these.
Skip it. Nope.
Yeah. Although Der Samurai seems like the thing I'd want to see. All right, Best Actor. Mark Duplass in Creep.
I
don't know. Hiddles?
I liked Creep. It was weird. Hiddles, even though we haven't watched Crimson Peak, you know he's going to be really great.
Oh, absolutely. It's Tom Hiddleston. Taylor Pucci for Spring.
Didn't see it. Can't say it.
My Idol. I don't know how to explain without sounding borderline. Like I have a homosexual stalking problem.
It's a man crush.
Well, it might go a little bit beyond a man crush at this point. We're going on borderline man flu here. But no, this guy, you know, I look at him as a mentor. I can't say enough nice things about him. Henry Rollins, and He Never Died.
Now, I didn't see this movie, but I've noticed Henry Rollins, he's really progressed as an actor from when he first started, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't he first start in Johnny Mnemonic or something like that?
I think you're right. He used to have these ultra intense roles. You know, like every time you saw him, he was ultra intense. And you're right. Now he seems to have chilled a little bit. And of course,
he's really picked up some skills. Yeah.
And the final one is a legend, is a man who needs no introduction, really. Kurt Russell in Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah. Now we know what Kurt Russell can do. We know it.
Yeah. I mean, Escape from New York, Escape from L.A. Although Escape from L.A. was absolutely dog crap, but Kurt Russell was still great in it.
Yeah, he stayed true to Snake Plissken. He was true to that character. So yeah, even though the movie around him turned shit, he was still true.
And I'll say this right now to any director, because apparently the fetish is, and if I may get apart for a second, Peter Jackson, don't you dare. Do not even consider it. This is my warning to you. I don't do threats. But if you think about what you're thinking about, I'm coming for you. You just remember that, Peter Jackson. I'm coming for you. You are not going to ruin my childhood any more than it's already been ruined. And I probably need to tell people what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard, Peter Jackson wants to remake The Neverending Story.
What?
Yes.
I did not hear this.
Yes, Peter Jackson wants to remake The Neverending Story.
Oh, God.
I don't know if
I want anybody to fuck with Neverending Story. No.
No. No, I don't want anybody to screw. There's two movies that nobody is allowed to touch. And that is Neverending Story is one, and Flight of the Navigator is two.
Oh, yeah.
If you even think about going after Flight of the Navigator, I will hurt you. I will pull...
Oh my God, don't give my ideas.
I will go full Liam Neeson on somebody. And I have a particular set of skills.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say that right now.
Scary.
I'm going to say that right now to Hollywood. Do not allow Peter Jackson to do The Neverending Story. And I don't care how great Lord of the Rings was. I don't. I don't care how great The Hobbit's going to be. Although you know where I'll be when The Hobbit comes out. But I don't care how good of a director you are. Do not touch that movie. Ever.
Ooh.
Okay. Anyways. Also, I think...
That was scary.
Yeah. Also, I think if anybody ever does another escape movie, if Kurt Russell is not Snake Plissken, you can kiss my ass.
Exactly.
Just throwing it out there. You can kiss my ass. All right. Best actress. Abigail Breslin in Maggie.
Oh. Oh, she. I think this was one of her best roles. Did you see Maggie?
I have not seen Maggie yet.
Okay, part of it, I mean, it does drag in bits because Arnold is getting all emotional and everything, but mm-hmm. her portrayal of Maggie, this was one of the better roles. I mean, this whole movie was about a father witnessing his daughter going through the change to become a zombie. So apparently it takes like weeks because there was medicines that can slow the
delay
process.
The effects, yeah.
And,
I can see that.
Yeah, and then there was eye drops she could put in because her eyes would turn the milky white, giving it away that she's dead. But there's eye drops she can take that put her eyes back to normal. They had to take all these precautions because at this point, if she bites somebody, even if she's not fully turned, she will turn somebody. But this was a whole journey of a father who loves his daughter so much, didn't want her to be taken to the government facility just to be put down like a dog. So it was a really very moving, very touching movie, and it does make you cry. I'm sorry, it does.
I'm going to need to see this.
But, yeah, I think you need to see it. I know there's like, it drags for at least 45 minutes in the movie, and you're like, let's move on already.
Yeah.
But it's well worth the wait.
Okay. Barbara Crampton for We Are Still Here.
Oh, yes. We talked about that. Yep. This is a mom missing her because they have a son that died. And she was missing her son. She thinks that he's around. And when she's moved into this house, you know, things are going on, and she thinks it's her son. It's she did a really good emotional role as a mom missing her boy.
Right, and we got Miyaka Monroe for It Follows.
I think she really did good as a person who has this impending doom of, you know, she's going to die if she doesn't, you know, if she doesn't pass on the curse. You really can, I think you really can feel her. She has this impending doom. She's trying to fight for survival because she doesn't want to die. I mean, she's young. I really think she does give off that portrayal of, you know, someone who's trying to fight for survival.
Ryan Simpkins for Anguish.
Can't talk about it. Didn't see it.
Good enough. Suzanne West for Goodnight Mommy.
That's the foreign film we didn't see either.
Okay. All right, we're going to skip a few here because, you know, we're that kind of people. Okay, we'll move on to, and again, love to the supporting actors and actresses. Y'all do a great job. It's just, we, for time reason, we'll move on. Best screenplay is up next. Anguish is on this list. I'll tell you what, let me run down the list. You tell me who you think did the best, because I think you've seen all of these.
Three of those.
All right. Anguish, The Final Girls, The Gift, The Midnight Swim, and What We Do in the Shadows.
Now, it's a total toss-up between Final Girls, Midnight Swim, and What We Do in the Shadows. I mean, What We Do in the Shadows is pure horror comedy. It was brilliant. Final Girls, I really liked it. Midnight Swim, that's another trying to find answers from mom who's gone. She leaves all these videos behind.
That's
a more, I would call that more.
More what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it's more an like an After Midnight art type film three sisters trying to go through mom's stuff. I think it's a more art type film.
Is it just me, or do you have the feeling that it's we need to find answers for mom in this video is going to be the next Blair Witch type? I mean, in 2016, that's going to be the obsession.
Yeah. Well, the ending was a real funny twist, not a funny ha-ha, but a funny, woo, weird twist. So, I think when you said Blair Witch, that really makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, because it's kind of a knockoff of found film genre. Obviously, it's within the found film genre, but to me...
Sort of.
Yeah, but to me, you know, I don't know. It feels like there's not very much room for error, yes, but there's not very much wiggle room when you do something like this. I think it's almost Paranormal Activity. If you really think about it, it basically would have to follow something similar to Paranormal Activity.
Mm-hmm.
You only have certain things you can do and certain things, you know, that would be completely impossible to believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I think you're. I agree. I think you're right on that. Yeah. So I mean, it depends on how the voting comes out on this. Are people going to be more towards the artsy emotional journey that Midnight Swim does give, or are they going to go for something? There's the mockumentary with the vampires, or are we going to make fun of slasher films? I don't know. I don't know how the way people are going to think. Cause
yeah,
I personally would go for something like Maggie. Actually, I would vote for Maggie as best screenplay.
I mean, the way you described it, yeah. I mean, it sounds refreshing. Sounds, you know, that's the best thing about the zombie genre, mm-hmm. is there are so many ways you could play out the zombie genre. Will it be like The Walking Dead, where a mysterious virus pops up? Or will it be Resident Evil, basically, where there's the laboratory controlled the virus and it got out? Or you can make it some weaponized. What can you do with fighting the zombie apocalypse? Can you keep your scientist alive long enough to maybe even find a cure? I think that's great, because I hear these debates all the time. You know, how would you portray the zombies, and how would you do it, and what would you like to see out of them? Are they slow movers? Are they really just people with base instincts? You know, the only thing they can do is think base instincts. You know, I've seen people do that where they're still human.
Yeah.
But all they have are those base instincts. Yeah. Like you're basically being turned into an animal. Right. I like this. And the more, you know, we talk about Maggie, the more I'm actually excited to see it.
I think you should. I mean, Arnold, what a comeback. I mean, that's like more than we ever thought he could do, you know, do this whole fatherly, emotional, wanting to save his daughter and make sure she doesn't die alone. Because the whole end game was they all turn. It just, you know, the government wants to round him up and just, you know, shoot him in the head, get it over
with. Right. So, all right, let's move over to the television side of things. Because I'm sure other podcasts will talk about the makeup and the creature effects, which, you know, we like to talk about, but in the interest of time, we'll skip a little bit. We might come back to it, actually.
Yeah.
All right, going off to the best TV series, I think this category is over because of how the fans feel, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Mm-hmm. The best TV series, Ash versus the Evil Dead, Hannibal, Penny Dreadful, Salem, The Walking Dead. I think it's Hannibal. I think Hannibal is going to win a ton of awards, and I'll tell you why. It's a middle finger to NBC. NBC has done everything since season one to kill this show, and they finally did it. And, excuse me. And I really believe you're going to, because this is a lot of people, you know, I think people that go to Fangoria a lot understand this is a fan-driven vote. So I'm cool with it. I am very cool with it. I'm very cool with The Walking Dead not winning. I kind of got out of Penny Dreadful. I kind of saw that maybe it's already jumped the shark. Salem, I've never been a big fan of. I'll be honest. It's good, but it's just not my thing. It's not my bag, baby. And shockingly enough, I don't get the channel that has Ash versus the Evil Dead, so.
Oh. But it's good, though.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I just haven't seen an episode yet because I don't get that channel.
You didn't see the first episode? They gave out the first episode for free.
That's right. That's right, they did. I did see the first episode. I take that back. So I have seen one episode of Ash versus the Evil Dead. And it is Bruce Campbell, who, by the way, is up for Best TV Actor. Bruce Campbell, Hugh Dancy from Hannibal. Mm-hmm. See, this could be interesting, because Hugh Dancy's up for Hannibal. Then you have Josh Harnett for Penny Dreadful. But Mads Mikkelsen is also up from Hannibal. And Michael Ryan, who does an amazing job on Constantine. Probably the single reason why the show's still in the air.
Probably.
But I think this might be where Josh Hartnett wins. And I only say that because Hannibal will Hannibalize itself, basically. Or cannibalize itself, if you will. Hugh Dancy is great. Mads is great. That's going to be kind of interesting. I think the Hannibal crowd will end up cannibalizing themselves out of this. I think Josh Hartnett will win, although Bruce Campbell deserves it.
Yeah, Bruce, I would give it to Bruce.
I would just give all the awards to Bruce, but that's just me.
Yes, I agree. I would give all the awards to Bruce.
All right, let's look at, now this is interesting, and that's the best TV actress. And, oh my goodness, yes. Richard Armitage for Hannibal. If you have not seen, that's best supporting TV actor. I'm sorry. Caroline Davenport is up for Hannibal. Vera Farmiga is up for Bates Motel. Underrated. Okay? The show is underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Eva Green is up for Penny Dreadful. How about this? Lady Gaga is up for American Horror Story Hotel. Rightfully so.
Wow. Yeah.
She's carried this season. And Janet Montgomery's up for Salem. I think, though, it'll go to probably Caroline Davenroth again because she's in Hannibal.
Okay.
If you're wondering, I'm just going to throw some of this stuff out here. Best Supporting TV Actor. Richard Armitage is up for Hannibal. Richard Armitage is a great, great actor. Seth Gable for Salem. Lenny James is up for The Walking Dead. Roy Kinnear for Penny Dreadful. And Evan Peters, believe it or not, actually got a nod for AHS Hotel.
Give it to Evan Peters.
You would just give Evan all Peters the awards all the to way. Evan Peters.
Evan Peters all the way.
There's a few people that listens to this podcast that just cheered. Let's go back Evan to best Peters. Makeup. Let's go back to best makeup real quick.
Okay.
Because these people deserve all the credit in the world. Yeah. So we're basically saving the best for last. Hugo Valençoire for Bone Tomahawk. Let me just give you the movies. Bone Tomahawk, Deathgasm, The Hollow, Krampus, and We Are Still Here are all up for best makeup. That's in the movie. I'd probably give it to Roger Murray for Deathgasm.
Hmm.
That's just me. On the TV side, American Horror Story Hotel, which is absolutely great. Hannibal, Salem. How about this? The only nod The Strain got.
was for how they looked.
Yeah. And obviously The Walking Dead. And I would give it to The Walking Dead for one thing. We got introduced to poo zombies. All right.
Poo zombies?
Yes. Poo zombies. If you don't remember the fifth season, spoiler alert, Maggie was looking for Glenn, and I can't remember his name to save my life, the gay guy, as I call him, has a secret tunnel where they would get out when they went scouting, and he took Maggie through that tunnel to get into that city, and while we were there, and we saw the herd, two poo zombies, or gutter zombies, whatever you want to call them, jumped out. And I thought it brilliant because they look exactly like you would think a rotting corpse would look like in a damn sewer.
Nice.
They were covered in mud and crap and everything else. It was beautiful.
Poo
zombies.
Awesome.
So anyways... That is our look at the chainsaws. Do you have anything else you would like to discuss before we call it a segment and go to some
music? No, we covered it because, like you had said before, we didn't get to see most of these films. And I saw a few thanks to Screambox and Netflix. So, yeah.
I'll be going on my Screambox in a little bit and checking a lot of these out. All right, so we're going to spin some tunes now. For your enjoyment here on EMZT Radio.
Somebody tried to kill you last night. We have to go to the police.
No, he wasn't trying to kill me last night. If he wanted me dead, he could have done it. He's just fucking with us.
Who is?
I don't know. Some guy in a slicker.
You are listening to EMZT Radio. Come and let your ears bleed.
I'm a desert man, yeah. I'm a
tone. It takes one glass to hit the road, and a bottle to crack.
Welcome back to EMZT Radio.
Huh?
As of tonight, the 20th, Supernatural comes back from its Christmas hiatus.
Oh, the second half of the season has arrived.
Yes. So, what's going to happen? Dean has to go to the cage to get Sam out. That's what we're looking at.
Oh my, yeah. Poor Moose. Moose gets into all the bad situations.
It's because he's the nice guy. He thinks with his heart, you know. He doesn't think logically because the emotions just override logic on him. So,
see, kids, that's what happens when you govern by emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, that's their balance. See, Dean is he's like the ABCD guy, you know, everything in order. We do this, we go in, we do this, this is the end result, this is how we do it, let's go! Sam's like, but wait a minute, what about how they feel? And are we all right with this? Because if we do this, this is the consequence that's going to happen. So, I mean, they're a good balance. So that's the balance.
Yeah. Hey, when you're talking about the second half of the season, that also means that we are now officially, 4 weeks away I believe. Maybe less than that than from The Walking Dead second half of the season. That's going to be a very busy weekend. February 14th is when The Walking Dead comes back. February 12th is Deadpool, which we'll probably talk about closer. But
yes.
Then there's the 13th. What are you doing Saturday, February the 13th? I hope you're turning on the El Rey Network, starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now get this, are you ready for this? Not only will we have a Nightmare on Elm Street marathon, we will have Freddy's Nightmares as well.
What?
That's
seriously?
Right. Seriously? Nightmare on Elm Street, all five Nightmare on Elm Streets, and Freddy's Nightmares will be played.
Damn. Now,
Freddy's Nightmares will go from 6 to 9. On Saturday, it'll be Black Tickets, Love Stinks, The Art of Death, and No More Mr. Nice Guy. That will be followed by all five movies all day long. Starting at 10, it'll be Nightmare on Elm Street. 12 will be Freddy's Revenge. Dream Warriors is on at 3. Or excuse me, 2. Dream Master is on at 4. And The Dream Child is on at 6. And then they'll repeat. And then Sunday, it'll be Deadline, Judy Miller, Come On Down, Saturday Night Special, and Sister's Keeper. Followed by Nightmare on Elm Street. But this time they're going to do it backwards.
Oh, yeah.
They'll start with 5 and end with 1. So you have plenty of time to see all five. If you want to wait till Sunday, you can see all five in reverse order, Nightmare on Elm Streets, and still have plenty of time before The Walking Dead.
And Guillermo is adapting Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Yes!
Who did not read this as a child? I mean, let me tell you, this is one of the few reasons why I went to the library at school. It was the most checked out book at my school, my elementary school.
Yeah. I bought this from, like, my local book fair because it was, like, $5. So I had to buy it.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I even still have it. It's that old.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We got Del Toro, and I'm reading this out of Bloody Disgusting, for those of you wondering. Del Toro said something very interesting via Twitter regarding the visual style of the film. To answer, this is Del Toro speaking here, to answer some questions on Scary Stories, of course we will, and he capitalized will, have Stephen Gammell's imagery be preeminent in the film.
Of course.
Party time.
Of course.
I have not been this excited for a movie in a long time.
Oh, I know.
I have no idea when it's going to come. Probably not until sometime next year, late next year at earliest. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, because he just started development. What was it? He said he's on the 14th. He started development of for the film. So he's got to write it out first.
And here's the awesome thing. As most people know, there are two other books.
Yes.
So I wonder if we're getting a trilogy of films.
Oh. Or he could just make this one whole anthology.
No. Let's have a trilogy.
Trilogy, okay.
Let's have a trilogy.
Sure. Why not? These stories, even when I read them, they were pretty spooky and scary and I don't think there was a happy ending to any of those stories.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't. Grimm's Fairy Tales was just as bad too. For those of you wondering, but yeah.
Well, the original versions were bloody.
Good grief. Yeah. We could go through some of them. We might actually do that later this year. We might have a Grimm's Fairy Tales podcast or something.
Oh!
But
that would be good.
To be honest with you, are you a horror fan if you've never read? Because it is, I will admit, it is hard to get a copy of that book in some places. If you've never at least read the first one, can you really consider yourself a horror fan?
Just say that's somebody who just missed something. Yeah. I wouldn't condemn a person if they missed one thing or two. I mean,
missed a life event. It's what you've missed.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sure you can.
It's probably available on Amazon or eBay. I'm just too lazy to look at the moment, so.
I mean, somehow you could find a reference somewhere. Somebody's
Somebody's got it. You know what I would love to see is either LibriVox or Audible get an audio version of all three books.
Oh, hell yeah.
I would even be willing. You know what? I might even do that. If get on LibriVox and actually see if I can't, you know, read the story. Because I don't know what their things are with books, you know, copyrights and all that. I need to see. But I would love to do that. Read the scary stories that tell in the dark.
Oh, for a LibriVox recording.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I found them on thrift books for like $3.99 each.
What? So,
yeah, they're on thrift books for $3.99. So go over to I'll be honest with you. Go over to thrift books. I picked up about 5 books the other day, as a matter of fact, for $20.
Nice.
Yeah. So thrift books is the way to go. They got a lot of the classics. Like, I finally got a decent copy of Fahrenheit 451 the other day.
Oh, that is such a good story. Yeah.
Absolutely. If you're not a fan of Ray Bradbury, then you're just not a fan of books. I'm sorry, but
you're not a fan of books if you don't like Ray Bradbury. I agree. I agree.
But what else do we have going on? Yeah?
Kevin Bacon to star in a new Tremors TV series.
But why are they making TV? Because you brought up the Tremors TV series, and I told you I wasn't going to bring this up, but then you brought that up. So
they did have this TV series earlier, but it crapped out because, you know, nobody was in it. But Kevin Bacon is stepping up.
I guess
to be Val. Yeah. So they're going to get another try.
So I guess that means we're probably not going to get another season of The Following. Is that what we're being told?
It didn't say that.
No. I think The Following is actually over, if I'm not mistaken.
Please let it be over.
Yeah, I thought that was the last. Because the story was just getting stupid.
Yeah, because they couldn't come up with stuff anymore. They're like, oh, let's just throw shit out there and see what happens.
We killed our bad guy in season one. Let's just make crap up.
Yeah.
But you brought up Tremors, and then I read over at Bloody Disgusting that they're making a series from Underworld.
Underworld?
Yeah.
Huh.
So
who does, do we know who's going to be in that yet?
We do not. The rumor is that they kind of talked Kate Beckinsale into it, but
I don't know if she'd do it.
I don't think she'd. I'm pretty sure she would do it. Although, I mean, you really could go places with Underworld, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, because the way they left it with the movies, I mean, it was going into a new direction anyway, that there's a new species of hybrid.
Right. So, I mean, there's plenty of ways you could go without having her in it, so.
But without any of that's why the first Tremors TV series crapped out, because none of the original characters were in it, so it's just blah. you know? Same with Blade. Series did not have Wesley Snipes in it. It crapped out.
And I'm sitting there thinking about Blade the series the other day and going, did that ever air?
Yeah, it did. I got to see, like, I was done in 2 episodes because the guy who was playing Blade, number one, was way too short, didn't have the proper, he didn't do the proper persona. It just sucked. Literally, sucked. Okay. It sucked the life out of me. Blah!
And unfortunately, I also learned that Scream Queens is getting a second season, so.
I haven't seen that. You don't like it?
I'm not a fan.
Oh.
I mean,
it sounded pretty.
You kill good. One of your major leads in, like, the first 2 episodes.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Like, you shove Ariana. I mean, literally, you remember seeing. I'm sure you've seen, you know, trailers for it. And you remember how Ariana Grande was shoved down our throats. The entire time. And you thought she was going to be... No, she was killed in episode 2.
Seriously?
Yeah. So I'm just sitting there going, oh, great. So the one person you used to market the whole damn thing, you killed off.
Yeah, that's like what you said right up there with The Following. You kill the bad guy in the first episode. Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Like, what the hell? Oh, yeah. Going back to Underworld there for a minute, there is a fifth Underworld coming out this year. Not this year, next year. They're already in production.
Really? Not hear that.
Yes, they are in Prague.
Well, of course.
And is that who I think it is?
Who's what?
My goodness. I just saw somebody in the world. And you Sherlock fans. Oh, yeah. You're going to love it.
Cumberbatch?
No, even better. Laura Pulver.
Oh.
The woman will be.
In the new
Underworld. Ah. So we already have, you know, Kate Beckinsale, Bradley James, Tobias Menendez, and... Yeah, now we have Laura Pulver.
Okay.
So I'm down. If anybody's wondering, Anna Forrester is directing the movie.
Huh. What'd she do?
She was the right-hand person on The Day After Tomorrow and White House Down. So this actually, I believe this is her directorial debut.
Oh, lots of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
You can't fuck this movie up, man, lady.
Now
fuck it up.
They're claiming that the release is October 21st this year, but I think that's probably going to be pushed back to next year.
It's going to have time.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, whenever I see late release dates, I always expect it to come out the next year. Just because you always know there's some kind of post-production delay or there's... You know, that's the day terrorists decide to strike a damn city.
Yeah.
Terrorism.
Oh. Oh, no. Well, there's been quite a few debut directors that haven't done too bad.
Oh, no. No, so, not at all.
But, I mean, she's already got a good start when she's worked with Independence Day, The Day After Tomorrow, Pitch Black. Oh, my God. So
She's got a horror pedigree.
She's got a pedigree already. So, looking forward to this, then.
So, speaking of big blockbuster movies, you know, and again, we like to throw in our sci-fi with our horror. Awesome news came out this week. How about this? You're a fan of Aliens. I'm a fan of Aliens. I don't know a lot of people that aren't a big fans.
Yeah.
There's a new collectible, and now we're actually at that age. Since we're older than 15, they're now called collectibles for us. Toys for everybody else. There is a new... Royal Facehugger coming out.
Royal Facehugger.
Now, the Royal Facehugger, I guess this would be different than the original Facehugger, because it has the Alien Queen egg.
Oh, yes.
Inside, apparently. So this is the actual one that landed on Ripley.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and by the way, we're recording this part of the segment on Friday, which is National Hug Day. So, you know, Face Hugger Friday. Why not? It's the best day. It's the best day to release news that you're going to have a new face hugger.
There's a Facebook meme already that shows that aliens want hugs too. But I'm like, yeah, it's a hug, and it's oral penetration. Yay! Yeah, they want to give you a hug, but they also want to shove something down your throat. Oh!
Oh, we should have gotten a trigger warning on that one. Oh, dear.
This is not your parents' podcast.
No, this isn't your parents' podcast. This podcast will trigger you. We should put like 40 trigger warnings at the beginning of every episode. Oh dear me. But I cannot figure out there's a reason why I can't figure out when this is coming out on store. They haven't announced anything about store shelves yet. They haven't even announced if this is going to be an accessory or the actual collectible itself. Which I think... It being a collectible by itself would be awesome. I'd put it on my wall tomorrow.
Why not?
make it look like an anatomy class. Face hugger anatomy.
Wait.
By,
wow.
buy two. Wow. That way you can have the outside of the facehugger and the inside of the facehugger.
Ooh, I'm seeing a picture of this right now, and this looks freaking scary.
I know, right? I mean, this actually looks like it's a real prop from the movie.
It looks like a real thing. I never liked them on screen anyway.
Any CA does a great job.
You can't
collectibles.
It looks just like the movie. Wow.
It does. It does look just like the movie.
You know, I can guess how much these are going to be already.
Oh, about $150.
Triple digits. No, yeah. We're looking at possibly three or more.
Nah, it'd be about $150.
Well, if they're smart, they do an introduction thing of under $100.
Yeah. And then when they sell out in 15 minutes.
Then they can jack it up to two. Yeah.
Oh, man. But that is completely awesome. I thought I would bring that up. I'm trying to look through. I think there are a few video games. And again, I mean, this is 2016 hodgepodge, really, as you can't tell by this segment. So, yeah, and we've already talked about El Rey Network doing Nightmare on Elm Street, and that being hosted by Robert Englund himself. So that'll be fun.
Yes.
I'll tell you the truth. I get the El Rey Network on a thing called Sling TV. It's put out by Dish Network. I'm telling you, it's a great deal. You should look into it. I think at most you personally would probably end up spending like $30 a month.
But that would get be cool.
You would get things like the El Rey Network, A&E, Epics, that sort of thing. Like they have like a Hollywood package. Now your base package is $20, but then they have like a $5 mm-hmm. Hollywood package that gives you all the Epics. I believe El Rey is in that Hollywood package. If not the original package.
It might
package.
Be. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Now, the most expensive package that Sling has is the HBO package, where you just get HBO. And that's $15 a month.
Hmm.
So, but I think you get all the HBOs, so... I don't have it, because I really don't... I'm not a fan of HBO, so... No, I'm not watching Thrones!
Yeah. I would be able to, if I did have that, I'd be able to keep up with you on what's going on.
Yeah, so look into it.
Episode-wise, yeah.
Yeah, look into it. You might actually like it. Well, now, we also said that the Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, it's Valentine's Day weekend. It's the marathon mm-hmm. on El Rey. And that coincides with Sunday night, Valentine's Day night, with the return of The Walking Dead. And it's going to be a busy month. February is a busy month for Lauren Cohen.
Yes.
Of course, Maggie returns on TV. But she's also in what the industry terms as a dump month movie. Which that's... Okay, people. That's what the movies that come out in January and February are called dump month movies. Because they're not, you know, they're not supposed to be good.
Right.
This is the experimental stage. Why Deadpool's coming out in February, I have no idea. But Lauren Cohen is in a new movie called The Boy. And yes, we all know it's another Child's Play type movie.
Mm.
If you've seen the trailer, you know what I'm talking about.
This seems a bit more interesting. I mean, did you hear the lullaby that was being sung?
Yeah.
About the boy?
I have heard it, yes.
It sounds a bit more interesting that it's a receptacle for the couple's dead son. So,
Yeah, but then you realize that William Bell is directing it.
Yeah.
So keep your expectations low. Although I'm sure Lauren Cohen is going to dominate this movie. Rupert Evans is also in this movie, and James Russell as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still wanted to give it a chance because I like these creepy type movies. Hey, I even watched Annabelle, so yeah, I'll go watch this.
I watched Annabelle too.
Yeah. That was weird.
I'm kind of sorry I watched it. Oh my. That's all I'm going to say.
Because also the big stories that are coming out are about the cursed dolls, like real cursed dolls. You got Robert the doll, you got the real Annabelle doll, you got all these cursed items that are being found. There's also that island in, is it Japan?
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of big news, so I am not surprised that they're doing this movie, because everyone loves these. I mean,
They're good
spirits inhabiting objects. People love those type of stories.
Yeah. For us, I will say this though: for us horror fans, this is kind of our mindless reality show type deals.
Yeah,
I think that's why we enjoy it. It's more mindless reality shows than they really are anything else for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, we thought we'd bring that up as we bring this segment to a close. And we're going to spin some tunes right now for you kiddies out there in EMZT land. And we'll come back and wrap it up for the week right here on EMZT Radio.
When I was going up the stairs, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
Hi, everyone. This is Kara Dwin from Sugar Plum Suicide, and you're listening to EMZT Radio.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Hey guys, this is Jules Marie, and you're listening to EMZT Radio.
And I guess that's wrapping up another episode of EMZT Radio.
Oh, absolutely. And I am, I'm telling you, this is, the way this month started, the ending has been just as, well, as bad as this month started, the ending has been just as good. So,
mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
And new changes. We've got new changes, too. EMZT is changing a little bit.
a lot of it.
To give you... Well, to give you more content, to do more things, to be longer played. Some of us like a little longer than an hour.
Yeah, and also, wanted to point out, please come to the blog, emztradio.mywebcommunity.org, O-R-G-org, and we'll try to be a lot better about the blogging and stuff like that. We should start having a few more extra things on there. Come check out, you know, where you actually have a thing in the corner where you can listen to the podcast while checking out what we have to write. You can also watch SV Bell's, and again, I'm trying to get him on the show, SV Bell's Black Flag TV, best in independent horror. So check that
24/7.
Out. Absolutely, 24/7. You can get that on Roku, too, for $3.99 a month. It's well worth the $3.99 a month. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
But other than that, we are working on a few things that we can't announce at this time, unfortunately. Please continue to listen to the station. Cheese Please, coming on Saturday nights at 9. Society's Basement is on at 8 and 11, or 8 and 10. And Cheese Please at 9 and 11. And, of course, the Minis, the Sinister Sisters, we're working on changing a few things as far as the old-time radio programming. You're going to hear a lot more of that coming soon, maybe more than what we bargained for at the beginning of the year, but it is what it is. So,
yeah. We got to work with what we got.
Absolutely. So anyways, that's all I've got. You got any other announcements you'd like to make?
Well, just to remind people where they can find us, we're expanding a little bit onto the web. So we've got Facebook, EMZT Podcast Radio on Facebook. We have Twitter at EMZT Radio. We're now on Vampire Freaks, EMZT Radio Podcast 666. Sorry, don't mean to offend anybody. We do have our WordPress, emztradio.wordpress.com, which also is tied into the station site that he talked about.
Yeah.
With the whenever we do a WordPress on our WordPress page, it goes to the station site. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Although I'm thinking we might get rid of the WordPress site just to lure everybody over to the station site. So.
Okay.
I forgot to tell you that.
Thank you.
Well, there's so much going on right now. Yeah. 40,000 things on my mind, plus school. So.
I know. You're a busy boy, and I'm going to be starting school on Monday. So.
So congratulations. I never asked you, where are you going?
So, yeah, it's UMA, Ultimate Medical Academy. I'm doing medical administration assistant. It's just a nice word of saying front desk worker, where you check people into like doctor's offices or hospitals or healthcare facilities. It's the front desk worker.
Oh, Lord, you're going to be working in the hospital. Oh, dear.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I've got 10 months to go, so before I get my diploma.
Don't go sneaking into the morgue. That's all I'm going to say. Fun things happen in the morgue, but don't go sneaking in there.
Unlike me, I am not like that character in a Contracted movie where he loves to have sex with corpses.
Oh, good. So maybe they'll let you in the morgue every once in a while, but please don't start talking to the dead bodies. They don't. Contrary to what NCIS will tell you, they don't talk back.
Well, you never know. I keep hearing tales of the one time that they're out to put someone away and they start sitting up going, "Where the hell am I?"
That's why they keep you in the freezer forever. So if you're not really dead, you're actually going to die of hypothermia. So. Yeah.
Or yes, folks. Like what is our other motto? We go there.
You know, I was listening because the radio station I work for, one of them now has Bob and Tom in the morning, and they were talking about this, and we're gonna have to find this because we're gonna bring more story, you know, horror stories come to life, but in Germany, a crematorium actually caught fire.
Oh.
Because they tried to cremate a 400-pound person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not good.
No.
Luckily, though, the fire was contained. As you can imagine, with somebody who is 400 pounds, there's a lot of flesh and a lot of, you know, gooey fun stuff that, you know. Anyways, wow. I thought we'd end it on that note. Nice upbeat note.
And like always, stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
Don't ever invite a vampire into your house. It renders you powerless.
Death has come to your little town, Sheriff. You can either ignore it, or you can help me to stop it.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
I gotta hand it to him, though. Sharks. I never saw that coming.
It rubs the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.
We're not getting out of here alive. But neither's that thing.